So we begin with hymn number 164, verses 1, 2, and 3. 164. 1, 2, and 3.
Good morning. Everybody have a blessed morning so far? I know I have. Let me read from Matthew 24:7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Who felt last week's earthquake? Okay, I think most of us did. When I was sitting there and everything started rattling, I said, well, that's not a truck going by. And it kept rattling. And I was wondering, how long is this going to last? And if this was the end, I really did think that. Because I didn't know. Thankfully, it wasn't, in a sense. You know, it would have been great if it was. But still, I mean, it was totally unexpected. So.
I thought I did something wrong.
Yeah, understood, of course, sure. So, okay. Elsa is doing better, sorry. She's in Wycliffe Lake Health and Rehab Center on Chestnut Ridge Road, about 10 minutes from here. She sends her greetings. And please keep her in your prayers. And there's a card on the table back there that all of you can sign for her. And whoever goes sees her this afternoon can take it to her. So please do that. We spoke with Rose Bensel yesterday. She really wanted to be here last Sunday, but it didn't work out. But keep her in your prayers also. Are there any other greetings? Yeah, please take the greetings of the church, and also we pray that you all have a safe trip also.
We'd like to take the greetings to Hungary. We're going in 2 weeks probably, but next weekend we are visiting Hungary.
Okay. God bless you there for that, and greetings, and also safe journeys too. Thank you. Any other greetings? Okay. This quarter, April through June, our quarterly mission focus is Canaan Land Ministries, CLM. Please pray for them. Consider making a donation to them. And a reminder that we also are providing Mary Gibson monthly support. continually. So that needs to be supported also. Any other prayer requests that we should be considering? Okay, our upcoming schedule things. Okay, this afternoon there'll be song service here at 1 o'clock while the trustees are meeting in classrooms 4 and 5. Don't forget tomorrow, the eclipse. I forgot to bring my glasses. Oh, well. So don't just look at the sun. Be careful. Lots of potential damage if you look at the sun while it happens. Wednesday night, we're continuing our Bible study, Acts 26. Friday, April 12th at 6 p.m. is a board game night. Elders meeting, as we already said, is the end of this week, Friday and Saturday. Please pray for that also. Food pantry collection next Sunday. So please bring things in for next Sunday. You can actually bring them in any Sunday. We'll take them. April 27th, the foundation meeting in Medina, Ohio. And May 5th is our members meeting afternoon at 1 o'clock. Anything else on the upcoming schedule? If not, there's a new booklet available called The Triune God from the Apostolic Christian Viewpoints. There are a few out on the table out there, so you can take one and read it to your at your leisure. There's also in the back on the table the 2024 address and calling list, so please take one if you haven't taken one yet. Anything else to announce? Please pray for Brother Frank as he has today's service, but first let's sing out of hymn number 268. Hallelujah, lovely morning, verses 1, 2, 5, and 6. 268.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome into the house of God. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father and our God, we are thankful to be in your house. We are thankful to be sitting at your feet for learning, and we are thankful that you have given us your word. You have given us your word in written form, and Lord, we thank you for that, so that we can read it, so that we can know that you have given the word, so that we would follow it and we would know it in our hearts, and we would strive to do your word in all that we say and do. And Lord, we just thank you for being the mighty God that you are, being the one who is in control of everything. And we ask that as we read your word today, you would teach us from your word, and you would give us those things that we need in our daily lives, and we need to draw closer to you and to worship you and praise you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for who you are and what you have done for us. For we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Like Brother Harry said, we had an earthquake on Friday, and it was a magnitude 4.8 earthquake in New Jersey. Now, New Jersey has had some earthquakes before. In the last 20 years, they've had 28 earthquakes, but they've all been very low in magnitude. The largest one was a 3.4. It was in 2020. And we're thankful that there was no extensive damage on Friday's earthquake, but it did remind me of the verses that Harry read for in Matthew 24:7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. This in diverse places means in various places, and in places where we wouldn't really expect earthquakes to be that large and so effective. And to see it and to feel it for ourselves, we can feel that God is in control of those things. And then it also talks about that nation shall rise against nation in war. And we can see that even Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and that's happening in the land that God has promised to Abraham. It's happening in that place and in that nation, and it's estimated that more than 20,000 people have died in that conflict since that attack by Hamas in October. I think it's been 6 months now, and 8,000 of them had been children. So even innocent children are being killed in conflict like that. And there are hostages that still haven't been freed. And we should pray for those in that situation, knowing how desperate that can be. And it says nation shall rise against nation. And even within our own country, there seem to be conflicts, and people have different ideas. And even if they have different ideas, they don't try to talk them out, but they try to go against the other person and talk about that. And the way they treat other people is almost like that's if your idea is different than their idea, he's your enemy. And that's not something that God would want, but that's something that's happening in the world today. And even we can see that there's shootings on the subway. Some people argue over a subway seat, and there's shootings. And verse 8 says that these are the beginnings of sorrows, and that we're heading toward the end. Things will get worse also, that But we know that we see things like that. And also, when we see, there are other verses that talk about the sun, there will be signs in the sun and the moon, and tomorrow we have an eclipse that is with the sun and the moon, and I think even looking at an eclipse to see how consistent that is, that they can predict how the eclipse will appear in different parts of the country, and they can do that down to the minute, because God is so consistent in the universe that He has created. He has made it consistent of the way the earth goes around for a day, and then it goes around the sun. And we can see the consistency of God in things like that that are happening. And I think even in that we can know that there is a God, to know that things are so consistent, because we if everything happened random and there would be all these random things going on, nothing would be consistent like it is in the way that we see things happening. So even as we observe that eclipse, and hopefully with our glasses that you don't damage your eyes through that, we can see the consistency of God, and we can see that how God has set these things into motion, and how He's in control of all of those things. Those things are happening because of the way that God has done that. So when we see the eclipse, we can know that there is a God who is consistent and who is doing things according to His word and to His way, and to be thankful that a God can be that consistent. But I'd like to read in 2 Peter 3 this morning. So I'll begin with verses 1 to 9. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So in this passage, Peter uses the examples of, he's even going back to Noah while they were building the ark. Noah was preaching about that, and it tells us that in other places in Scripture. But I can even imagine what it was like for Noah, that he's building this ship, this gigantic structure on land, and I think people coming by would say, why is this man doing this? Why is he building this boat and there's no water around it? He would tell them that the Lord told him to do that. He instructed him how to build that boat, and he gave him the size and the measurements and all of that. And I can't even imagine building such a big boat on even near water to see how that would do. And it took Moses, it took Noah a long time to do that. And probably were people coming in and they're probably saying, why is this foolish man doing this? Why is he building this boat? And to see that for many years, to see him do that for year after year, and they probably thought maybe there's something wrong with the mind of this person, why he's doing that. But then when the rain came, I think that it doesn't say that people, but people, many people probably came to that ark and wanted to get in that ark. And seeing that the rains are coming and that the waters are raising higher and higher, and they have no place to go, and they would want to go inside that boat now. And they realized that, but the door was closed on that so that they couldn't get in. It said God closed the door on the ark there, probably because they could hear those people outside, and those people are crying for their lives to be able to come into the boat. And but God is the one who closed the door. He knew that this would happen, and that they wouldn't believe of what Noah said, the words of God that were given to him. And he knew that people wouldn't believe that, and it was only 8 people that got onto that ark, and the rest were drowned in the flood. And he had to bring so many animals also into that, so that it would, from then on, the animals that had died, now they were animals that he had brought on there, so that the life of those animals would keep going. And then in verse 9 it said, God is not slack with his promises. He's not leisurely. When God promises something, it will happen. We know that from seeing how consistent God is, and he's not slow or forgetful in those promises. But right now, God is it's not the end of the world yet, but we don't know when that will be. We don't know when it will be close to the end, but like he said, those things are the signs of the beginning of the end, and we can see them happening. And we can see that God is giving time for those who have not yet given their lives over to the Lord to give times to repent and to do that, and to give them an understanding of what Jesus has done for us, and to give their hearts and souls fully to God. We can see how serious God is about sin. This past Easter, we looked at some of the agony that Jesus went through when he was at his trial, and then the scourging afterward. We can see that that's like a whip, and they usually put bones or metal or something on that, so it cuts into the flesh. And we can see that that was done to Jesus, and he was bleeding there. And they put a crown of thorns on his head and bleeding from that. And there were some people that would even die from that, from doing those kind of things to them, that knowing that they were already sentenced to die on a cross. They didn't care about what the state of the person would be who's being scourged there. So we look at some of the agony that Christ had in those things, that he was beaten so badly that he couldn't even carry the cross, and they had another to help them and take the cross. And we see that Jesus went through some serious and extreme things, probably excruciating pain, just the physical pain, but there's also the things that go through a person's mind or mental things that. But that was the price that needed to be paid for my sin. Sin is so serious that Jesus had to go through those things to give us the forgiveness of sins. And I think that just shows how serious God is about sin. And we're looking at this, that people say, well, this has been preached for thousands of years. Why should I take it seriously now? Or why should it affect me? That I like the life that I'm living. It seems okay to me, and it seems it's not cruel things are happening to me. Why should I take that as serious? And sometimes we gloss over sins, and we gloss over the seriousness of our sins, and we say, well, maybe someday I will come and give my life over to Christ, but now it doesn't seem to be that urgent a thing. But maybe it's more urgent than we really know about and think about. And to know that Jesus already paid the price for that, but to continue in sin would be really making his agony even worse, that that he's suffering for those sins that we are doing now, and we don't think we're doing that, but that's what's happening. And some people even look at the idea of sin is not a popular one today. The sin is very rarely mentioned, and people can justify doing all kinds of things with saying that it's not that bad, it's not so serious. I'm not a murderer. I don't go around and kill people. And there are a lot of people that are worse than I am. So they say that it's not that bad. But even if we look at a sin like pride, they might say that, well, what's so bad about that? No one else gets hurt when I'm a little prideful, and everyone needs to have some confidence in himself. So this is not real pride. This is kind of, I'm confident in what I can do and the things that I can control and how life is. I'm just confident in there. Not, that's not real pride, they say. But when I put myself above others, the cares of myself, the things that I care for, if I put that above those others, I might not even be recognized that I'm doing something wrong there, or I'm putting myself above others and putting others down, and I'm really boasting about myself. And Satan can use those things. He can take those thoughts and those ideas, and he can say, well, that's not bad. Everybody does that. Why can't I do that? Satan uses that to think, well, he wants us to feel like I'm good enough. Or he wants to say that, well, Christ died for my sins, so they're already forgiven. But they're not forgiven. They're not forgiven until we recognize the seriousness of sin, and not until we recognize that how it's God's will that we would be humble and not to be proud. And so Satan is the one who can manipulate those things and say, well, it's okay that you can do those things for now, but maybe later on when it gets closer to your death, you can think about turning unto Christ and giving your life over to Christ. But he's trying to give us reasons not to give our lives unto Christ. And here, that's what it's talking about. He's making it seem like, well, there's plenty of time. There's always time to do that. But also the thing of pride, it can blind me to seeing what is really happening. It can blind me to see of what I'm really doing and the way that I act and the way that I present it to others. How that is really wrong and needs to be controlled by God. And I need to humble myself, not to be prideful, and to recognize how much I really need God. And I need to see sin as God would see sin. And if we see that Jesus had to go through all of those things because of sin, we can see how really serious sin is in a thing. So there it's saying that God is not... God knows those things, and God isn't slack with that. He's not leisurely or slow. He's giving a chance for those who still need to give their lives over to Christ, giving them time to do that. We have to realize that when the end of the world comes, or if when we die and we don't know the day of our death, we don't know the day of the end of the world, that we have time to seek the mercy from God, but we have to do it now. Because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't even know what the rest of today will bring. And it's so serious that if we know that there's going to be a judgment day, and the word of God tells us that there's a judgment day that's coming, that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we really need to look at today. What can we do today to draw closer to Jesus and to know that when that judgment day is coming, we can't say, well, on that day I'm going to repent, because then all opportunity is over. It says that there are books written with all the things that we do in our life, and we will be judged out of those books, there's no more time to seek mercy, and we know that we had that time, but we didn't take the time to seek God and to give our lives over unto Him. We didn't take the time to say, well, Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to dwell within me, and I want to give my life over to you. Sometimes we delay in that because Satan wants us to delay. Satan wants us to not give our lives over to Jesus. But we know by the Word of God that's something that God wants us to do and asks us to do. I'd like to read the rest of the verses in 2 Peter 3. Verses 10 through 18. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware ye lest also being led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We talked about steadfastness today. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And in there he talks about as a thief in the night. And we don't start protecting our house from a break-in when a thief has just come and broke into your house. That's not the time to start talking about protection from a break-in. That really has to be done beforehand. And he's using that example also as saying that really beforehand we have to recognize what Jesus has done for us and how he has come and paid the penalty for my sin, and to realize that that would be what needs to be done. And God is telling us what will happen, even though we don't see it now. There's coming a time where we will be before the judgment seat of God. And He's telling us really to prepare for that time now. And he also tells us that there will be a new earth and a new heaven prepared for those that have accepted Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. And that Jesus has made us, has given his life for us, and we should serve him knowing that that will happen. And we can see that in that place that God has prepared for us after we die, there's no war or famine or pestilence in that place. And we can see that that even as there's a famine in the territory of Israel, but in Gaza, that because the people who look at those things and say the level of nutrition is so low that most people are already in the crisis stage where they don't have enough to eat, and some people are even beyond that there are people dying of hunger because food is not being able to be delivered to them. And there won't be things like that happening in the place that God has prepared for us. But he's showing us now that that's the beginning of the end. Those are the beginnings of sorrow, it said. And that we can see that when it's happening in the land that God promised to Abraham, that those things are indication of that we're getting closer to the end. And it's telling us that the physical earth will pass away, and if we die, then the time of judgment day is really then that's we're going to face the judgment next. And I wonder what that's going to be like to be before judgment. And I remember that I wanted to raise the level of the fence in my house, and I had to do all these things that the zoning board asked you to do, and write to all these people, and all to these, even to internet companies that you're going to build a fence. But I didn't understand all of that, but just did it. And then we had a hearing on that, and we go to the hearing, and many people came with lawyers and builders and architects and things, because they were asking all kinds of questions about what percentage of your yard will keep water, or what percentage where the water will run off, and all kinds of things like that. And then it was just the two of us there, and I wondered, how are we going to get past this? They're asking these architects all kinds of questions about this structure and all of that, and I was wondering, we're not going to get past this. It's just not going to happen. And then it was our turn, and they talked to us, and they asked some questions, and they said, and I'm saying, well, this is just like the fence that my neighbor has, the same height as he has. And they said, well, did he go through this board to have this done? And I said, yes, he did. And I said, you don't happen to have his paperwork here, do you? And said, yeah, I do. And then the secretary came and read, and who are the board members that approved his offense? And it just seemed like a different thing to knowing that that you, even though you feel you're never going to get out of this, and to feel like, well, they approved it then. But when it comes to the judgment of God, and we're there on that judgment day, there are so many things that God could bring up, even in my life, of where I had fallen short, where I had sinned, and where I didn't even recognize my need for God right at that point. But Jesus came so that those could be forgiven. And Jesus came so that we could know that He is merciful and that He cares for us and that He wants us to live with Him forever in this heavenly place and this place of joy, and where we can see those again who have gone before us and who have given their lives over to Christ, and we can rest in the assurance that God cares for me. But again, the repentance begins here on this earth. We can't wait to repent for those sins on that judgment day. God is giving us a chance right now to live the lives that we should live. And even those who have given their lives to Christ, to recognize that God is merciful, and to know that we do things that are wrong, and to even repent for those things. And it may be small things, but to come unto God and to know that there is still forgiveness, and there is God's love and mercy that is goes out to all of us. And so I just want to emphasize that it's really important to know God and to really seek His word, and to know that when we pray to Him, He hears that prayer. He sees the condition of our heart, that if we are humble and come to Him and recognize how merciful and loving He is, that that's such a wonderful thing to know. And if we know some here who have heard the word of God but have not yet repented, I think we should really pray for those people. Those people that we know that have heard the word of God and yet have not made a covenant with God to serve Him, and to really pray for those people. And if we know for some people that have not heard the word of God, that they don't know that this is the time that we're in, and there's a worse time coming, and have not given their lives over to Jesus, then we have a story that we have to tell, and we have to be examples to those to show them of what God can do in my life and what God can do in their life. And I pray that as we look at those things, we would really take it seriously. As God takes sin seriously, we would take that sin seriously also. But I ask that God be merciful to each one of us and be, help us through to show that way unto others also. May God bless His Word.
Number 52, first three verses.
In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We've heard that message very clear this morning. Everyone must repent and turn from their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then to be steadfast in our faith until the end comes. The end could be tomorrow. The end could be in 100 years. We don't know, but we need to be steadfast. Let's arise to close with prayer. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to love us, to teach us, to admonish us, to guide us, to be our Savior. And we thank you so much for all of that. And we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit that can live within every single believer to also provide that guidance and to provide comfort when things get tough. And we know things will get tough. We thank you for each and every person that is here today. We pray that we have all received a blessing from what we've heard this morning. And not just to hear it, but to put it within our hearts and then to live it. We pray a special blessing on Brother Frank and Sister Chris as they travel to California. And we pray for those that are gathered there for the elders meeting that you would be upon them and guide them and provide them what they need to do the work that you have called them all to do. We thank you for, again, your presence here with us. We thank you now for the lunch that we will be eating, that you bless the hands that have prepared it, and bless the fellowship around the tables. May you, Lord Jesus, be glorified in all that we say and do when we pray this in your holy name. Amen.